go ahead and let's stand together as we read from God's Word together this morning, Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with the 9th verse. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let's pray. Father, I pray and ask today that you would help us to understand how to obtain your promises by faith and patience. Father, we do pray for those that are weary, that are sluggish, that are worn out, that have been standing for a long time, Father, and don't know how much longer they can stand. Father, I pray that we stand until we see the salvation of our God in the land of this that we're living in, this day, this hope. Father God, I pray that hope would not be stolen from any heart. But we also declare that enough is enough, and that for many, it is time. They've been standing in faith. They've been patient. But Father, there is a day that comes suddenly when our faith becomes sight. And so, Father, we pray and believe for that day right now. Father, on our part, we've determined that we will be doers of your word and not hearers only, as you give us revelation from your word and by your spirit today. We thank you for it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, you received on the back of almost every bulletin are some of my notes. I will tell you that on a walk yesterday afternoon, Michelle and I walking along the parkway, I added quite a bit to my sermon and threw out a little bit of it, but you have a lot of space there. I want to invite you into this message maybe a little better today than I do sometimes, because I think this is something that almost everybody can relate to. So if you have something to write with, I would suggest that, and you have a lot of space there. But somewhere maybe on the top or below where it says Abraham is the father of faith, I would dare say that almost everybody in the room has something that you've been standing in prayer for maybe quite a long time. Can I just get a little nod of agreement this morning? And then some of you have been putting up with something. Something's been going on in your life in a negative way. You know, you just feel like you've been under attack, you've been under stress. And, you've been believing for a long time for that thing to be gone. So on the one hand, you're believing for some things that maybe haven't materialized yet. Maybe God dropped something in your heart that you were supposed to do for him, but you've done everything that you know to do, and yet you're still not walking in the fulfillment of that. And you're just still kind of waiting on God for his fulfillment of that thing. Can I just get another little nod for some people that have that this morning? So whatever it is that you're trusting God, believing God, you're standing in faith for this morning, if you could write that thing down on your bulletin there, just verbalize that in some way. I want that to be the focus of your attention this morning as we go through this message. Because as the text reads, we see that it's that we will have a full assurance of hope until the end, that we would not become sluggish, but we would imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, I wish the word patience wasn't there. I wish it was just faith and bam. You know, I believe it, I receive it. I wish you could just blab it and grab it. I wish you could name it and claim it. I wish that worked that way. Amen. And there is something about our confession of faith. I'm not speaking against that, but I'm telling you, the things of God don't seem to work like instant potatoes. You know, you don't just put the ingredients in, pop it in the oven, and out it comes, right? I mean, there is this thing called patience. Patience is not my best virtue, I'll be honest. I mean, God put something in my heart. It becomes such a reality to me. It becomes so clear to me. I can see. My brain doesn't work very well going backwards in reverse, but I can see things that God wants to do in the future, and I want to have it right now. But some of the things God has spoken to Michelle and I mean, we were in our 20s, and how many of you can see we're not in our 20s anymore? I mean, it looks like Michelle's still in her 20s, but you can tell I'm not. And some of those things have yet to be fully materialized. So I mean, I think we've exercised some patience. How about you? I mean, you're still here, right? I mean, you had some opportunities to quit. You had some opportunities to give up. You had some opportunities to throw in the towel, but here you are, still standing in faith, believing God for what you're believing for. Amen. Right. You can talk back to me this morning. It helps me preach better. All right? Thank you. But Abraham was in this same place. Look at Genesis 18. In Genesis 12, Abraham had been given this very outlandish promise from God. Even though he was 75 years old, he told him that he would be the father of many nations, that his descendants would be as the stars of the heaven, as the sands of the sea, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham, that he was going to bless those who blessed Abraham, and he was going to curse those that curse him, and all of that. And so some time has passed, several years, probably a couple of decades at least, almost 25 years, actually. In Genesis 18, the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre, and he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, there were three men standing. And I'm going to hurry through this a little bit. He invited them in, washed, gave them some water to wash their feet. They were going to make a meal for them, verse 7. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and hastened to prepare it. And then all the other preparations. Verse 9. These three men, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "Well, here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah listening in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "Have I grown old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" No. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That's the word of the Lord. Let me just give you a real brief account of how faith works. Faith hears what God says, believes that, receives that, makes a deposit in one's heart, and then holds on to that thing until it fully materialized in the way that God said it. In the New Testament, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith begins when the will of God is known. Faith begins when you know what God said to you. How many of you, come on, just nod at me. You know God has spoken to you about something in your life that needs to change, either by Scripture or by revelation of the Spirit of God. How many of you have had faith promises fulfilled in the past? How many of you are hanging on to something right now that hasn't materialized? Amen. So we're talking to you this morning. So Abraham and Sarah had this promise from God. It's almost 25 years later. Abraham was 75 when he got this word. So let's just say he was really borderline whether this was really going to be a thing anyway. And now it's almost 25 years later. He's almost 100 years old. And God has not changed his mind. Look at somebody and said, God doesn't change. He really doesn't change. God doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change what he says to you. If God spoke something to you, then it shall come to pass if you will have faith and patience. In chapter 21, we read this. Verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. How does faith come? For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Now that is how faith and patience works. God gave a word to Abraham when he was 75 years old that did not come to fruition until 25 years later. I wish it was different than that, but it's not. I mean, some things just happen immediately, but some things that God has spoken to you, some things that you're believing for, some things that need to change in your life, requires faith and patience. Nelson Mandela was born in July 1918, Johannesburg, South Africa. And this story is pretty near and dear to me. For a few years, I was doing some leadership training in South Africa, in various places around the country, but mostly in the Johannesburg area. And one of my assignments one year was to go in and speak to a group of churches in Soweto. Soweto is a township in Johannesburg, South Africa, where Nelson Mandela's home was. And really just walking distance from his home, which is now a little museum, sort of like Jesse James, St. Joseph. Well, not quite the same. All right. But you understand. And so where I was teaching in this Nazarene church to a group of pastors and church leaders, I could walk up the street and I could walk up to Nelson Mandela's home. Nelson Mandela was a lawyer. He was a political activist. He was the leader in the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa, initially committed to nonviolent protest. But later he was arrested and convicted of conspiracy to overthrow the state, which really he was just wanting freedom and he was just wanting equality and he was just kind of wanting what was righteous. Let's just be in agreement on that this morning. Amen. 1962, he was sentenced to life in prison. Most of his imprisonment, he was kept in solitary confinement. And he was in prison for 27 years. Somebody say 27 years. He served 27 years of that life sentence and was released in 1990. 1993, Nelson Mandela won the Nobel Peace Prize. In 1994, he became South Africa's first black president. He's known as Madiba or Tata, the father. He's the father of South Africa. But Nelson Mandela's story is a story of faith and patience. Really a great man. Michelle and I and our kids have been in several different African nations, and when the government went back to the people that are indigenous to that land, in most situations it was very bloody. In most situations there was a war. In Zimbabwe, we know people on both sides of the war, and many people died and houses were burned and so forth. But in this transition of power, when Nelson Mandela was elected president of South Africa, he didn't do so with retaliation and brutality and violence. And there's a reason that South Africa is still the gem of Africa and one of those places where there is prosperity and growth and economic opportunity. And it mostly is due to Nelson Mandela, a man that we can look for and see that he was a man of faith and patience. 27 years he was in prison, but how many years did he work for what he was trying to accomplish before that? We're talking about 30, 40 years of his life for what was in him to accomplish until he saw that completed. Faith and patience. Look at Romans chapter 4. Let's break this down just a little bit more. And then I'm really kind of excited to get to the end of the message. I thought it was an addendum to the message, but it's a really exciting part of the message for me today. I'll just tell you. Just to give you a little side note, almost everything significant God has ever spoken to me, I was outside when he said it. I was either walking, hiking, or riding my bike. Now, to me, that's my prayer closet. When you need to have an answer from God, you need to kind of know even geographically where you need to go. My pastor, he's in his mid-80s now, but if he needed to hear from God, he'd get in the car and drive. That's just kind of how he did. And on the way, you know, he'd be just talking, conversing with the Lord as the miles would go by, and he'd get his answer from God. But I'm just telling you, walking with Michelle yesterday in the park, and she was completely unaware, she's only aware of it now, that the Lord was speaking to me about this message that I'm going to share with you in just a few moments. But this is how faith works. We're going to go back to Abraham, Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham, or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God whom he believed. Here's how faith works. He believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. It's very important in this faith equation that you know what God has said to you. Because God calls things that be not as though they are. If God wants the lights turned on, he says, let there be light. And if he wants something to change in your life, he begins to speak to you about that thing. He begins to speak that thing to you. He calls things that be not as though they are. Now, I don't
like to hear curse words. I don't like to hear vulgar speech. But you know what would bother me more than a slang word? Would be to hear somebody speak contrary to what God has clearly said. That's more wicked to me. That's more evil to me. When the spies went into the land of Canaan, what did God say to them? He said, go spy out the land that I am giving to you. And 10 of them came back and said what? We cannot do it. And God said, that's an evil and wicked report. To say something contrary to what God said, because it doesn't look like in the natural realm you can accomplish what God said clearly you could do. You can walk just by your natural eyesight and by your natural senses, or just by all of your experiences or what other people say, or you can walk by faith, not by to walk by faith, we're going to have to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And contrary to hope, believe the one who calls things that be not as though they already exist is the one speaking to us. You don't have to have faith if you already have it. What do you mean it? I mean what you're believing for. If you have it, you don't need faith for it. But you need faith for it until you have. Verse 18, who contrary to hope and hope believed that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. According to what was spoken. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. He became the father of many nations according to what God had spoken to him. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he will also perform. I wish it was different. But this is how faith works. God says something to you that doesn't look like there's any possibility that that can ever be fulfilled. If you looked at the current situation that you're in, and it looks completely hopeless, it looks like you're getting further away from what God said, not closer. And then there's little dream thief begins to speak to you, begins to lie to you, begins to convince you that if it would have happened, if you really heard from God, it would have happened by now. There's a dream thief called time. And the longer that time goes by, the more you're convinced in your brain, because nothing in the natural realm has changed at all. Somewhere in year 23, don't you suppose Abraham's going, did I really hear from God? Somewhere, you know, in about the 25th year of Nelson Mandela's imprisonment, he's thinking, man, I had this thing to liberate my country from this terrible, evil, wicked called apartheid. But Joseph had these dreams that his father and mother and that his brothers were going to bow down before him. Bam, his brothers sell him into slavery instead of killing him. Most of the brothers were voting for murder. And when he got into Egypt, he went into the house of Potiphar, and he's doing well there. But you know the story.
the wife really has eyes for Joseph, and he won't defile himself, and he won't defile his master, he won't defile his God, and refuses to commit adultery with her, and so she accuses him anyway, and he ends up in prison. And in prison again, he prospers and does well, but he's forgotten there and just left to rot and left to die. I mean, he's a foreigner anyway. Who really cares about him? Who's going to plead his case? He doesn't have a lawyer. This isn't the United States of America. There is no due process. And then one day, suddenly, the king's servant says, I know a guy that can interpret your dreams. And the next thing you know, he's the second highest person in the greatest nation on earth at that time. Look, it works by faith and patience. Abraham believed God. He agreed with the God that calls things that do not exist as though they did. He didn't consider his own body, but in hope he believed, and he did not waver. He was strengthened in faith. He gave glory to God, and he was fully convinced that what God said, he was able to do that thing. Now, here's the part I'm really excited about, and here's what God spoke to me yesterday. There's a time. When faith becomes sight. Isaac was born. Joseph's brothers did bow down to him. And David did become king eventually. And Jesus was born. In every one of those situations, it looked like too much time had gone by. If we're talking about 25 years, in Joseph's case, it was probably about 30 years. Time passed from when God spoke to him as a young man until the fulfillment of that thing. You can work the timeline back through Genesis. The last prophecy concerning the Messiah had been almost 400 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. Faith and patience. But there is a fulfillment of time. There's a time for that which you're believing becomes sight. I believe it's time for faith to become sight. For somebody today, the wait is over. The time is over. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 6 says, but the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord, God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and the labor and our oppression. And so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terror and with signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place and he's given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. There was a time after the children of Israel were crying out from their oppression in the land of Egypt, that God heard and answered their prayer and sent Moses, and they were delivered miraculously. There's a time for faith to become sight. I believe it's time for some people today. It's time. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time. In 2 Samuel, David spoke. 2 Samuel 22, starting with the first verse, then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David was a teenager when he was anointed to be the king and Saul's replacement. But it's years and years and years and years and years later before he's crowned to be king of Judah. And then there's some more years before he's reigning and ruling as king over all the tribes of Israel. But the Lord spoke, David spoke these words to the Lord on the day that he was delivered from the hand of all of his enemies. from the hand of Saul, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears." Jumping down to verse 14, "The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were uncovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, and he took me. He drew me out of the waters, and he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me into a broad place," literally a place of safety. "He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed, he has rewarded me." There's a time for every prayer to be answered. There's a time for what you've been believing in faith to be fulfilled. And walking along the parkway yesterday, as I was turning around and we were headed back to the house, when we got up to Ashland, the Lord began to drop all of that on me. It's time. It's time. It's time. I thought I was preaching a message on faith and patience. Like, come on, guys, hang on a little bit longer. Don't give up now. And for some of us, that's true. I don't know what everybody's timeline is today. Don't. But I know the word of the Lord when I receive it from God. And the Lord very clearly said to me, it is time. It's time. In Isaiah 48. Finally, in closing this morning, verse 3. "The former things I declared of old, they went out of my mouth and I announced them. Then suddenly I did them and they came to pass." Have you ever heard about all these overnight successes? Then when you hear their interview later, you realize they weren't an overnight success. It's just that we notice them suddenly. And when the fulfillment of God's promise in your life comes to pass, it will come suddenly. But only you will know how long you've been waiting for that miracle. Only you will know how long that you've been praying. Only you will know how long that you've been standing. Only you will know. But there is a moment in time when suddenly God hears. He's heard your prayer, but then the answer comes.